We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gaming, E3 is officially over. Not actually, there's a couple more presentations, but I don't care about those. E3 is basically over. Myself and TK, I had the pleasure of watching all the things that mattered. I did not watch Verizon. I did not watch Capcom, because it was a lot of
Verizon.
Yeah, Verizon had a thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't even know what they showed. There were a couple of presentations that I said, big no thanks. But there were that were tight. There were a bunch that were tight. I have my own opinions about the show, but I don't mean to influence you. In general, I want to know, how did you feel? Because I've seen a lot of conflicting things.
How do I feel?
Just generally about E3 after pretty much it's over now, right?
Talking E3 and whatever. One second. Whatever.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I know you're throwing this up.
Yeah, twitch.tv/prediction esports. Okay, so I think that E3 sucked this year, but understandably so. Yeah, you know, like I'm not gonna like be like, this is the worst E3 of all time, and then also graded on the same level that E3 would be graded on if we actually had a chance to go to the event and the world was normal. Everybody's affected, like, you know, like games getting pushed back because not being able to like to be in the same room to discuss things and things like that. I know that Zoom is like a nice little caveat for that, but a small solution, but it doesn't really still capture what you need altogether. Like, I'm sure that everybody wants to work in the same studio, you know, be able to bounce ideas back and forth, like right off the floor and stuff. Most people had to worry about, you know, even keeping their jobs in the first place.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I understand why the game seemed a little low, like, you know, seemed a little this year. But there still was some good stuff in there. I mean, like, I'm super hyped for Kazuya and Smash because I like Tekken. I also was already hyped for Monster Hunter Stories 2, so I guess I can't really be like, in Monster Hunter Stories 2... but like, the WarioWare coming back out, that was lit.
Sick. Yeah.
I think that knowing that we're going to get even more content for Monster Hunter was nice. The Halo stuff was nice, for sure. Cause like, I'm definitely a pretty big fan of Halo. I would not get if it comes on the PC, then yes. If it doesn't, then I probably won't play it, cause I'm not getting an Xbox. But, just overall, man, it just feels like there was a lot of misses outside of a few good, you know, few hidden gems in there. And Capcom shouldn't even showed up. What was that? Like,
yeah, I didn't watch it for that reason. I saw a tweet where they explained what they were looking at, or what they were going to present, and it was just like Monster Hunter Rise, more Resident Evil DLC, blah blah blah, and it was like nothing at all. And I was like, all right, I'm not watching this. I am not interested. And that seems to be, I'm glad that companies are telling us. I was going to watch at 5:30, I was going to watch the Bandai Namco presentation, and then it turns out that they're only presenting one game, and it's a game that I hate. So I was like, okay, I'm just not going to watch that.
Wait, what was that game?
The Dark Pictures, and it's the Man of Medan thing.
I'm good on that.
Yeah, I'm very good on that. I trusted them twice, and they burned me two times, so I'm not playing that third one. But I feel like, I think what it comes down to, because I feel what you're saying, I feel like it was sort of light this year, but I really feel like the biggest reason for that, and this is going to sound weird, but I feel like it's because Sony's missing.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think that's weird at all. I mean, like, especially from our perspective, like, if we're outside of Nintendo, our other system is the PS5. I haven't had a Xbox since 360, and you know that was literal years ago. So with Sony being not there, like there's like a whole section of games that like I'm just not going to be able to, or there's a whole section of games that I probably would have wanted to hear more about that I'm just not going to be able to because they weren't there.
They're just missing big. I think we're just missing big, huge bombs because like. We knew Breath of the Wild 2 was coming. Nintendo didn't really have anything other than that. I mean, it had a 2D Metroid, which is, like, okay. But I sort of treat that almost like a $30 DS game. Not to be rude, but it's, like, it's not the same. You know what I mean? It's big, and it's a big deal, but it's not quite the same sort of oomph. And the way that I described it is, like, so I'm not a huge Zelda fan. I felt like Nintendo was a bunch of, like, you ever go to Fridays and you just get the appetizer platter? And it's just like mozzarella sticks, potato skins, wings, breadsticks. Like, that's what I felt like I got. Like, WarioWare's good. Mario Party's good. Where's my, like, I need an entree, you know? And I didn't get that from them. Sony wasn't there, so I didn't get that from them. Microsoft had a lot of cool stuff, but, like, I wonder if it was a misfire to. So their big thing was Redfall, right? They had that at the end. Redfall, which is this 4-player co-op game where you fight vampires. But it's coming right after we're getting a Left 4 Dead game, which is a co-op 4-player game where you fight zombies. I feel like putting your all into that bucket, like that's your big flagship title, I feel like that might be a bit of a mistake. Like I just can't be as excited for it. Looks tight, like the theming and the creative direction of it looks cool. But it's like there were so many co-op shooters, there were so many Left 4 Deads, and it's like I can't be excited about all of these, you know?
Yeah, I think that they definitely thought they were going to differentiate themselves a little harder because, instead of zombies, vampires. But, like, it's technically the same thing. Like,
you're fighting the same stuff. Oh, they're just super-powered enemies, you know? Like,
Yeah. So, it's like, I mean, thanks for a different aesthetic, for sure. Like, we haven't seen that in a while. I think there was a game called, like, The Reckoning or something. And I think that was still zombies.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was... I played some stuff. There was a co-op shooter one that I played with... with Hat. I forget what it was called.
Back then?
That's going to bug me. It's a little old. Yeah, hold on. I'm going to look it up online. Yeah. It's like Steam Vampire.
God.
I'm going to look for it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the one I was talking about was like, it was like on like PS2 or something. Xbox One. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was like 4 characters as well. You know, like top down isometric type deal. So it was all right. I think the one thing that E3 did though was set up Nintendo to absolutely win regardless of what they were gonna do. all the presentations were so lackluster that like Nintendo could have came out and gave us Mario Kart 8 Deluxe 2 and we would have been like, yo,
yeah.
it just didn't matter, man. So that sucks. You know, but again, like, as I said, I'm not going to judge this one too harsh because, you know, there was a lot of factors that did kind of tear down the, I guess, the authenticity of this one. Like, no Sony. Some of those indie games that we saw, like, earlier on were pretty nice, too. Can't remember, like, and then I think they're actually going to talk about Tunic, which is the one I've been looking forward to since, like, 2016. So that's nice. But for the most part, yeah, just wasn't the play, brother.
So, first off, Sturm, I see you in the chat. I want you to know, as soon as I saw Advance Wars, I thought of you instantly. I just want you to know that. You're talking about how Redfall is being made by the guys from Prey and Dishonored. I actually said that on my stream. Prey was one of my favorite games from a few years ago that, like, nobody played. I have high hopes for Redfall. Don't get me wrong. I think it's going to be great, but I also think that they really specialize in that single-player, like, open-ended sort of play design, and I don't know how I feel about them going into co-op because that opens up a whole lot of new things, and I think if it is single-player, maybe you swap between these characters and it's not co-op, that's even worse. So it's like, I'm cautiously optimistic. The Prey team is amazing. I'm not as big into Dishonored. I mean, like, if we just want to look at a review of all the things, I put out a report card for all the conferences. Ubisoft was bad. I don't know what that was. Ubisoft was just like movies. Gearbox is one of the worst presentations I've ever seen. Devolver did good. A lot of the indie games look great, but some of them look better than others. I feel like I was getting burnout because, like, there's so many space games. There are an insane amount of space games and co-op shooters. And, like, I think three or four games that are doing the Octopath thing of having pixel art on a beautiful background. And I'm like, is that the new wave? Is that what everybody's doing?
Oh, my God. Dude, I don't know if you've been watching Twitter, but
They're Shotos.
The discourse under this is insane, and like the amount of bad information being thrown out is also insane. This man said FGC fighting game characters already said, and I'll say it once more. This other guy comes and says FGC is already an acronym commonly used for fighting game community, and another guy says no, it isn't. Just nothing else. Just, no, not even a period. Just, no, it isn't. Like, oh, all right, you're right.
I saw one that was like, he was like, there's so much is like, don't call them Shotos. Kazuya isn't a Shoto. And then somebody said, Terry isn't either. So why don't we talk about Terry? He's like, yeah, Ken and Terry are Shotos. And he didn't say anything about Ryu. And it's like, wait, what, how are we getting through one, but not the other? It's so weird. Like, I don't care. I'm calling them Shotos. If they have auto turnaround and have command inputs, that's a Shoto to me. I don't care.
That's just not how that works, man.
Don't care. I'm calling it a Shoto. What do you want to make it? Fighties?
No, bro. He can just be a totally different category. He's a Mishima. Like,
no, I'm not doing that. That's too much.
That's literally directly from Tekken. Like,
yeah, but I'm not making a whole class of characters for one character.
I mean, you're basically making one class of character for one character. Like, it's two characters. Wow, man. You guys went way above and beyond for that one. It's two.
Three?
Terry's not a Shoto. Shut the fuck up.
Terry's a Shoto. Not a Shoto. Yes, he is.
He's not. Streeties? I like that one.
Scrappers.
I like that one. Scrappers.
Streeties pisses me off. I'm calling them Shotos.
Call them 2D fighters. Call them 2D fighters is too long. Look, man, I don't understand why everyone's trying to find shortcuts. Anyway, you don't even have to say what type of character they are. It's kind of known.
Like, well, when you
how many
say,
times are you going to say it in during commentary?
You're gonna
and
say
yes,
it
here
a
it
lot.
Is. Another traditional fighting game character. Ryu with his traditional fighting game. Hadouken. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, you don't even say Shotos that often on commentary.
I'm going to say it. Because here's the thing. Well, no, here's the thing.
And I'm going to correct you every time.
No, you got Spaceys. Yeah. You have Swordies. And these don't just mean the character. This means a class of character. Like, technically, Luigi is a Shoto in terms of Smash playstyle because you want to run away from him and you don't want to engage, and he has a fireball, and he's annoying. That's a Shoto. But he doesn't have the auto turnaround, so he's not a Shoto. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. Kazuya is a Shoto depending on how he works. I don't know. I looked at that moveset. I couldn't make sense of it. I was like, what is
I'm actually kind of... I'm wondering how they're going to do this because Tekken's a four-button game, and each button corresponds to a limb, and you have four face buttons, and two of your buttons in Smash auto default to jump. So is it going to be like A's for punches, B's for kicks? Because if so, Well, that's actually pretty easy for me to keep track of, and I'm going to be Korean backdashing slash electric wing god fisting everybody, so should be a great time.
I thought
also, that is true.
He doesn't have a fireball. Well, he doesn't. He is an auto turnaround. Okay, well, I don't care. He auto turns around and he has command inputs. That's a Shoto to me. I changed the rules. I'm calling him a Shoto. I don't care what anybody says. I thought Heihachi was an alt, and then I realized he's just in the background of that stage. I was like, oh, that sucks. I just assumed that they had a similar moveset. And I was like, oh, they can do the same
thing. Technically, they're both, they have the same fighting style, just, you know, but it's not like, it's not like they're clones of each other or anything. Gotcha. So it's just, but they definitely are under the same Kazama style fighting shit or Mishima style or whatever.
Gotcha.
Fighting. So, yeah, man, I don't know, man. Like, this discourse is actually hilarious though, because I don't understand, like, why are I even worried about this? Like, half of y'all, 90% of y'all will never play this character.
Yeah.
Like, you'll probably never play against this character. Like, I don't know, man.
One thing that we've learned is that Smash has no idea anything about Tekken. And one thing that we're going to be doing with Panda very soon that we're making, this is a leak, we're making a thing that's like, who the hell is this character? And we're going to have characters from Street Fighter, Tekken, and King of Fighters and be like, okay, what series is this guy from? And it's going to be, like, the weirdest, like, the most outrageous characters from each series. And we're going to switch up the art styles because, like, there's been Street Fighter versus Tekken. There's been, you know, SVC Chaos, stuff like that, and see if we can mix people up. I think it's going to be fun. Because Smashers have no idea anything outside of Smash. It's so funny. I've been watching all the discourse about Kazuya, and it's just, nobody knows who this is. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah. So, man, I definitely saw someone recently say, man, I wish Tekken had a more flagship character.
Kinda.
Like, that was iconic, like Ryu. And I was like, that's just not true. Kazuya's been in every game but one. Like,
yeah, but he's,
what are you
not
talking,
like,
about, bro?
There's no, I don't know. I feel like when I think of Tekken, I actually think of King more than I think of, like, Kazuya.
That
would have
been cool, too.
Yeah.
That would have been cool, too. I would have been down for that. But an actual grappler. Oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you get Heihachi, who's been like, if you actually like look at the game at all outside of, like, you know, playing it when you were like six in your art, like, for most people, it would probably be Eddie Gordo. Like, Tekken. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's
for most
true.
People, it'd probably be Eddie Gordo.
That's
to
a
be
good point.
Honest. You know, Tekken 3, and you hit slapping the kick buttons. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Dude is just spinning, just mad as hell. Like, yeah, 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 okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But for anybody who has actually, like, taken just a small bit of time to look into it, like, they are, like, the main part of the story, Heihachi and Kazuya, and Jin, I guess, to an extent, too. And then everything is surrounded around their corporation, the Mishima Corp, or the G Corp, so I don't know, man. Like, it's a weird thing to say when you can just say, I don't know too much about this game. Like, that's...
Yeah.
So much easier to just be like, yeah, I don't really know too much about this game. Instead of being like, yeah, this game doesn't have no... That's not true. That's just not true. Sometimes you could just be wrong. You could just be out the know and be fine. So...
Somebody in the chat said that they did a quick glance at the Kazuya wiki on Google. He's like, what the hell is happening in Tekken? I agree. I looked at the same thing. I was like, great, Jinpachi... Who the hell is this? A dude with a big-ass mustache? I don't know what's going on in that game. And then I found out there's a character called Slim Bob, which is like, it's Fat Bob, but he got thin. He was a character in one game. Like, what?
Yeah.
This game is nonsense. What the hell am I looking at?
The tags are, like, not canon, but it's still funny, though, that they were just like, we'll make Bob again for the... You know,
they didn't even want to make a new character. They just wanted to make him skinny. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's funny.
The craziest thing about Tekken's lore is that, like, how often, like, people die, but they're not really dead. Like, people have been thrown in volcanoes, like, 8 times in that game. They've been sent into space on rockets, just all kind of shit, and they're just finally, like, they finally say that Heihachi's dead now, but I don't believe such.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. So, yeah,
I'm sure
he's gonna come back as, like, Mecha Heihachi or some shit.
Yeah, he's gonna have something. Guys, we have a lot of other stuff that we want to talk about, obviously. I'm super excited about Mario Party, WarioWare, some of the Nintendo offerings, and some of the other stuff. Yeah. But I do want to get to your guys, what you guys liked from E3. We'll do a little Q&A. But first, we have a brand new sponsor for the stream. Can you believe it? TK is going to tell us
bro.
About it, brother. Listen. Do you have it right there?
I think you, yeah. I mean, it definitely was around here.
My stuff is upstairs, but we have a new thing.
Oh no, did I? Oh, there it is. Ah, ha, ha.
Guys.
Boom. You know what time it is. It's time for you to shave your fucking balls, bro. Now listen. This is weird. I feel like I'm about to be like a physical education teacher. Your genital health is important, okay? And the way to keep that thing clean is to manscape in between those cheeks. I don't know. No, it's the go ahead and manscape, bro. This is good. It's a safety razor. I actually had a very old version of this, and it was still good back then. So this version is way better. It has like a light and stuff, so you can do it in the dark, and not wake up your sleeping girlfriend and or boyfriend, depending on what you want to do. And on top of that, no one's ever really talked about this, but balls do need deodorant because you do be sweating. And if you ever have like, you know, went to the gym and then taken your boxers off, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So slap this on in the daytime, right after you get out the shower. It's a great time. Now, 20% off, okay, will save you a lot. They actually got a nice little promotion right now that's like 100 and something. Like it's like a 50% off already of a nice package. And then you get 20% off. So you're basically paying like $4 more than the actual razor, for the boxers, for the shirt, for the
full product,
the little bag, and of course the ball deodorant. So again, man, look. I don't know if, you know, I don't know how long y'all went through life without manscaping, but the first time I did that, I was probably like 17, and I ain't never looked back. You know what I'm saying? Feels good. I feel good. Like, I feel better about myself. You know what I'm saying? It just, you might also feel better about yourself, too. And on top of that, you can advertise for us, because after you manscape and you put these on, and then she's like, wait, you manscaped, then you can take these off and show her what you did. All perfect. Right.
It's right. I have not had the pleasure of trying it yet. My box came in yesterday. I haven't had a chance to try it, but I will say I have bought a trimmer that was supposed to be all purpose. It was not. I'll leave it there. Like, one of the trimmers worked and one of them did not. So I'm excited for a product that will specifically fix this issue, because I had an issue. I just needed a Band-Aid. So,
and notice. This is a box made specifically for the men. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a very
very masculine. this is a very masculine package. Yeah.
Like it's all sleek. Like, I feel like I'm about to just put on like some James Bond deodorant or James Bond cologne right now after I finish up with this.
I have certainly been marketed to. Yeah.
Yeah, drinking a Dos Equis after this.
Yeah.
All kind of manly products all at once. But hey, man, use the code y'all to get 20% off of your order. And also, help us out, man. If our sponsor thing goes well, then they'll keep it on. And we'll keep being able to come up with better products to give to you. So,
yeah, buddy. Yeah. Check out manscaped.com. Promo code y'all 20% off right now. But let's kick it over to the viewer Q&A. Guys, if you have anything you want to talk about E3 at all, I watched pretty much all of it. TK, I don't know how much, I don't want to speak for you, but like, anything you guys are excited for, anything you guys want to talk about? I see a lot of people saying that Nintendo won, and I don't really, like, I don't know. It's so weird. Like,
it's like hard to say that because there literally was no competition. Like, right. Of course they won, bro. Like, everybody else went to the starting line and they walked backwards. So, like, Nintendo took one step forward and they were like, the winners! Congratulations! So I don't know, man. It's hard to like say that they won with like clear certainty that like what they brought to the table was so superior. It wasn't even what they brought to the table was superior. What they brought to the table was very standard.
Yeah, it was fine.
What everyone else brought to the table was super lackluster. So therefore, by comparison, Nintendo looks like the king.
Sadly.
And I don't know, man.
Yeah. Capcom showed off Ace Attorney. of every game you could have shown, you had to show Ace Attorney. That's so bizarre. Yeah. It's a game all about reading.
I'm really tight about, like, everyone's, like, I had people in my messages telling me to go, like, F myself because I tweeted what I tweeted about them showing Ace Attorney. Yeah. I was like, nowhere in this tweet did I say was bad. I'm just saying this is not a game you need to show off. People know. when you show off gameplay, you're supposed to be showing off new and exciting gameplay for games that, like, may not be fully fleshed off by their, by reading the description. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Another Elder Scrolls comes out, you're going to want to see what direction they're going to. Where are we at? What's the fighting style like? You know what I mean? Like, are we going more mythological? Are we going more, like, Norse? Are we going more about dragons again? Like, what are we doing with that? With Phoenix Wright, it's like, so you're going to solve court cases, and you already know that by the name of the game. So I didn't need to see it because I already know what I'm getting into. If you were a fan of the Phoenix Wright series, you would have bought that game regardless if they showed you that. So I just don't get it. It just makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm really sick of people in mentions or just on Twitter in general running defense for companies. Like, it's totally fine to have preferences for what people want or, like, talk about games, but it's really weird to, like, there's a lot of people running defense for their favorite team, and it's like, dude, it doesn't matter. It's video games. Who cares? And a lot of people doing the COVID thing, right? And, like, yeah, COVID impacted development. It sucks, and I think everybody knows that, but it doesn't mean that you can't. Like, it feels like people want to be so reductive. They're just, oh, I can't believe you're discussing this at all after this terrible year. Everybody worked hard. Yeah, okay, and I'm looking at these dudes comparatively. I think it's a little silly that people want to just eat, consume. I don't know. A lot of good indie games shown. Devolver had another good showing. Somebody asked earlier any indie games you're looking for. So the guy that made Pony Island and The Hex is making a new game called Inscription, which is honestly in my top three most excited for things. The Hex was amazing. Pony Island was pretty good. It was more like it almost felt like a student project, like showing what he could do. But Inscription looks amazing, and I love that developer, and I'm very excited for that. Death's Door looks good. I think Death Trash might be good. I mean, like, there are a lot of indie games that I was into. TK, I know you're also into this stuff. Was there anything that, like, I know you said you were looking for Tunic, but was there anything that hit your eye? Oh, and the Pikmin game. Oh, my God, dude, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that dude. Pikmin game looks super nice.
Yeah.
I can't fully remember. In fact, let me see if there's, like, a list of games I can just go find real quick. List of games, or indie games. Indie games shown at E3. I know Tunic has been on my mind for literally, like the first Inception I saw was like 2017, and it's now 2021, and I'm finally getting more information for it. So that's great. That Metal Slug Tactics game.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, is that indie?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Well, the thing is with that one, it's like the thing with Metal Slug Tactics that I was thinking of is, like, I brought this up on my stream. How do you make a new Metal Slug game? I don't know if you can, because I feel like this current generation wouldn't really be into it. They wouldn't really like it, and I think that doing it in a new style wouldn't really work, because Metal Slug has such an iconic sort of gameplay loop. I like the idea of them trying to go in a new direction, and I think it looks sick. It looks great.
I'm also looking at, I'm just going down a list now of games that caught my eye altogether. So, here, if you need this list too, I don't know how much you have, but let me
send it, brother.
On the disc. I am in a call with you right now. Here you go, bam. All right. So, just going down the list.
Jeez, this is huge.
Battlefield 2042 is kind of eh. I mean, like, I'm interested in it in a way that, like, if I got a key for it, I'd play it. Elden Ring, yes. Endless Dungeon, yes. But also for key. Far Cry 6, yes. And I know, yes, it's Far Cry 6. But you guys know how much we love checkbox games. So Final Fantasy Origins, I'll be in on that. Forza Horizon 5 actually kind of caught my interest. I don't normally like Forza games because I'm not really into realistic racers.
Yeah.
But Horizon looks more arcadey. And, like, in a good way. Like, it kind of reminds me, like, of Burnout. Not, obviously not Burnout. Like, we need another Burnout. But it reminds me of that like level of arcadey without, you know, minus all the crashing and stuff.
Apparently it's getting more arcadey, which is kind of neat. Like they're leaning into that more, which is what I wanted. So, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah. Halo Infinite multiplayer. Okay, there's a lot of misses here.
I was looking at the same set. I'm gonna rank all of these games tonight. Okay. That's what I'm gonna do. All
right. Sounds like good.
Because this is a lot. Yeah, I was gonna say this is a lot of stuff.
Monster Hunter 2 Stories, but I was already hyped for that. So like, I mean, I can't really bring that. Psychonauts 2. Like, I feel like I saw a lot of people getting hyped for that, but I didn't really play Psychonauts. Not
no. No. Don't get excited. Do you want to know why? Psychonauts 1 is excellent. Psychonauts 2 has been in development for like 7 or 8 years, I think. Like, it's been a very long time. And over that time, I think... You know what's going to happen with that game? What, there was a game like that that came out last year, if you guys remember, maybe 2 years ago, where it was like, if the game came out right when it was announced, it would have been good. But this one, like... It came out too late, and then it wasn't good anymore. Does that make sense? I feel like Psychonauts 2 is going to be based on, like, old platforming stuff, and, like, now it's 2021. If this, I think it might have been Yooka-Laylee, I don't know. But, like, it's a game that I think if it came out back when it was announced, it would have been great. But now it's, like, who cares? I don't know. I'm not excited for it, and I'm a huge Psychonauts guy. It's, like, in my top 30 games.
Yeah.
But I'm not into it. I don't know.
Okay. Salt and Sacrifice, I think I would have been hyped for it if Salt and Sanctuary was executed better.
Boo!
The idea of a 2D Metroid sounds like, okay, yeah, but for some reason that game just was not
bad game.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
God awful game.
Yeah. So, Shredders, like memeing wise, I love snowboarding games. It's never going to live up to like old arcadey snowboard games, unfortunately. In fact, wasn't there another one that came out like 2 years ago that like
Steep?
Yeah, what happened to that one?
It's bad. Okay. I tried Steep because they had like a free demo thing, and I was like, oh, sick, let me try it. It did not hit. It was too boring. And actually, Ubisoft has another game like that, Rider Revolution or something, and it looks another SSX or like a open world thing, but like Ubisoft games are so sterile. I'm excited for Shredders because I think it nails like the zen, like the peaceful going down a mountain thing. It just needs a little bit more spice, like you said. I think it doesn't need to be SSX, but it's got to be a little bit more, I don't know.
On the arcade side, for sure.
You need something punch. Yeah, you need some kind of punch.
Yeah, dude, I mean, they just need to make a Snowboard Kids 2, 3 already, bro. Like, give me that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but anyway, I call Salt and Sacrifice a Metroidvania. It's actually, like, it's more like a Souls-like, but it's the 2D Souls-like Metroidvania, and yeah, just, I don't know, man, like, it didn't hit for me.
Sifu,
I was already hyped for.
Mm-hmm.
That was an Absolver one-player game, which Absolver should have been hype as well, but just did not pan out the way it should have.
Nope.
Solar Ash, I feel like I'm kind of hyped for, but, like, at the same time, it's, like, one of those games I'll forget until it comes out, and then I may see someone else play it. I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. That seems to be about it for me. Yeah.
I'm looking at the thing, too. I can't really see. They Always Run looked kind of cool. A little. I forgot about that one. There were, like, four games that were, like, action platforming with pixel visuals. And they all look good. Like, Replaced, They Always Run, there was another one. Like, they look good, but it's, like, they get lost in the wash. Dodgeball Academia, you know, looked okay. Yeah.
I think the issue with Dodgeball Academia is that it's immediately going to get paired to Knockout City, and I just don't think it's going to get that level of hype. Knockout City, like, they capture the essence of arcadey dodgeball, like, very easily. And from watching that, it looked more like RPG-ish arcadey dodgeball, but, like, the skill part where, you know, the catching and the faking out and stuff, it doesn't seem like that's really there as much as it is in Knockout City. So I don't know. It seems like maybe if that came out like a year ago, it could have caught on for sure. But now it's just going to be hard compared to Knockout City.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It looks more like an RPG Mario Tennis or Mario Golf, but I don't know. It doesn't look great. There is that time loop game, 12 minutes with all the like actual actors, which looks like a fun little art game, but I don't know. You never know how stuff like that's going to be executed, you know?
From watching Ocasian play it though, he was definitely just trolling up there, and like that joint looks funny to like.
Oh, was he playing it?
Yeah, because he got a chance to play, and like, dude, it's probably just the way that EU demeanor is. Mm. But it looked like the developer was getting so tight that he was like not trying to actually like win the game, because Ocasian was doing shit like it would be like you're trying to like, you know, get out the house or whatever,
yeah,
or like solve the mystery, and Ocasian would do stuff like his wife would be sitting on the couch, and he would just start eating, and his wife would be like, "You're gonna eat without me," and then the cop would come, and he would like, "Would you like a slice of cake?" Just like terrible decisions, and I was cracking up, dude. But the developer seemed like he wanted like Ocasion like to try to like live the game. I was like, "Nah, man, like that's the type of game where like making bad decisions is going to be great content for sure."
Yeah, it's like Heavy Rain. Like you spend the first hour just dicking around. Like, why? Yeah, you're not actually making any good decisions. So I'm excited for that. I think it looks good.
I think that it's wild that they're still working on Fallout 76.
I don't get it. I got brought that up too. I said that's one of the worst games I've ever played. You and I played it for an hour.
Yep.
Legitimately one of the worst games I've ever played. I don't know why they're still making progress on that.
At this point, from what we played, I would have expected them to already be working on their next edition, and we are still here on Fallout 76. So, interesting. Then there's a bunch of other games that they like announced that we already knew it about, and then in this thing, Party Animals, I'm hyped for Tunic, and Splitgate's pretty cool. But I thought for some reason I feel like that game came out like 8 years ago, and we're still talking about it. And then outside of that, like, yeah, that was pretty much my E3. So not the biggest E3, not anybody's fault outside of coronavirus. So basically it's Trump's fault, you know, and, you know, if you want to blame anybody, blame him. There you go.
Cruise and Blast was a random but cool announcement. Yeah, that was so weird. It made me think, like, because I saw that and I was like, I'm definitely not buying that, but I'm glad it exists. And then I thought, like, how would you make somebody buy a cruising game? And I think you have to make it a Need for Speed game. Like, you need like upgrades and unlocks and stuff. But like, I love cruising as an idea, but I don't know if I would ever spend money on it. You know, it's a weird thing.
I feel like my thing is mostly just, I've never played a cruising not in an arcade. Like, I need the wheel. I need to sit. Like, I don't want to play cruising on a controller. So, like, that just... And I'm not going to buy all that stuff for my house either. So, like, that's just... That seems like it might be dead on arrival for me. Now, if they put that in an arcade, then, you know, catch me a stop button, but...
I was going to say, catch me at the movie theater, you know, doing donuts, right? Like, next to an 8-year-old.
Right before that next Marvel Avengers comes out. Yeah. Like...
Dude, so
get one quick lap in.
So Ock put in a poll into the chat. It says, "What are you most looking forward to in House of Ashes, which is the new Dark Pictures game?" And the four options are: 1, the suspense; 2, killing monsters; 3, the Dark Pictures anthology; 4, other. What? That doesn't make sense. 3 is the name of the game. 4 is other. Of course it's killing monsters, I guess. I can't get over this. I hate this game. I hate this series so much. I hope it crashes and burns. I can't believe that they're putting out more games. So that I had to throw that out there. That's so funny. Yeah, I can't believe that Bandai Namco would put their whole presentation on that either, especially when one of their characters just got announced for Smash. But whatever. I would vote other. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff for E3, I think, to be excited about. I don't know how much this year, honestly, because it looked like a lot of stuff was 2022 or, like, didn't have a release date. But I don't know. Future's pretty bright. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, what about the Empathy game? What game is that?
Life is Strange.
Oh, man. Okay.
I mean, I'm going to play it. You know I'm going to play it. And I'm excited to play it.
But... And I will watch that. But, yeah, I've never... I don't know. I've never really been on to the Life is Strange. At least for me, making my own decision. You and EE, y'all can live it up, but I'll be there to watch your terrible decisions.
It's so bad.
Well, I mean, this one, doesn't she have like psychic powers now? Like,
she had psychic powers in the first game too.
Oh, all right.
She could. She in the first game, the character turns back time. She can go back in time, okay. Only like short distances though. And in the second game, I don't think were there. Oh no, there were powers in the second game, dude. Nobody talks about the second game.
That wasn't it. The two brothers.
Yeah. And the kid has like telepathic powers or something.
Yeah. So that was a. I watched some of the end scenes for that one. That was pretty sad. Like. they get to Mexico and it's like, all right, do you die or do you try to kill the Mexican guards and get out? I was like, damn, this is a not a decision I'm ready to make. So but yeah, no, I'm never really been into Life is Strange. So I mean, hey man, if that's your type of game, I ain't going to knock you. I just won't be the one playing it myself.
If that's your type of game, you're probably a 20-year-old woman. So, you know, enjoy your game.
Aren't you about to play
enjoy it? Yes, I'm about to play it for fun. Come on.
Yeah, okay. He like sickly loves these games, bro.
You think I'm crying after I end this trade? Like, oh, I can't believe she said that.
I learned Chloe. Learned so much about Coney recently, bro. What do you think about what do you think about Rivet?
Oh no, come on. You know what makes me mad about Rivet? Dude, no. One, I'm not into her. But here's the thing. Just to be clear, I know what you're going for, but I do want to talk about her. I do want to talk about this character because it pisses me off. So I saw a screen grab of people from that company. I think it's Insomniac. I always forget if it's Insomniac or Incognito. But they said they were saying that they worked on Rivet and they knew what they were doing. They thought they were inciting a furry awakening. And for some reason, that makes me mad. I don't know why. It just pisses me off that they put this in the thing so kids will play it and then have some kind of awakening 20 years later. Like, and they're all like, oh yeah, we knew what we were doing, LOL. We knew. That makes me so mad. I don't know why that pisses me off so much. Those aren't my people. No, those aren't
are
my
your people,
bro.
Stop, like,
man. Stop. Come on. Where does this even come from?
You know where it comes from,
I didn't
bro.
Even do anything.
You
what did I do? What did I do? I didn't do anything. I'm not into it. That's like a dog. She's like a dog. She's a cat nose. What,
a long back. So it's okay to be into a monkey because they're relatively
bro,
close.
Bro, the monkey. No, you don't. The monkey is literally stylized as a hot human woman. That's not the same. It's the
so
same
you
with
don't,
Lola
you
Bunny.
You don't think that they try, okay, so are you attracted to Lola Bunny?
Sure.
Okay, man.
She's a hot human woman. She has hips and curves and legs. Like, that's what the character is designed to be. What are you guys? It's the same thing. That's a human being. Yes.
All right, man. Well, the good thing is when Coney finally pulls up on them and he's ready to go, at least he'll be Manscaped. Use code okay. y'all all to right. get 20% off your
might,
order.
Might need to use it on them. They're a little furry, you know? Like, it's just... Okay.
All
I think
right,
this
bro.
Episode is over. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
Lombaxcaped. Lombaxcaped. There
man.
You go.
All right, man. You guys enjoy your nights. Obviously, if you are watching this now and you want to watch this later, it will be on all of our podcast distribution channels and, of course, YouTube. Make sure you use that code y'all if you decide to go to Manscaped. We very much appreciate it. And we'll be back next week with more gaming stuff to talk about, most likely. Any final words?
Nope. Thank you guys for tuning in. I am going to be taking a break. Are you going right back to streaming?
No. I'm gotcha, done. Gotcha. I got packed.
Fellas, I'm going to be streaming tonight. They've got the E3 award show. I'm also going to be checking in on Mario Party and WarioWare because they showed more. Oh, they also showed No More Heroes 3. They showed actual footage from that, like 25 minutes.
Did see
so,
that.
Tonight on stream, we're going to be watching the award show and then a little bit of WarioWare, Super Mario or Mario Party, and No More Heroes. So a little bit of movies tonight. If you guys want to check it out, twitch.tv/Coney. Yeah, check it out. All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Wait. Did you delete your VOD?
I deleted my first VOD. Why?
All right. I was like, man, you're a bold man because.
For what? Which one?
For streaming it.
For which one? Oh, the Nintendo one?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm keeping that shit up. Nope.
Oh, all right.
What are you going to do? You got to sue me, Nintendo? You ain't going to do shit.
They can DM. Well, you know what, man?
I'm untouchable. They will not mess with me. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Right. Goodbye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.